Welcome to the podcast of Kingsway Community Church, a community inspired by love to live differently. If you'd like to connect with us online, join us at one of our churches, make a financial contribution, or discover more about Kingsway, head to www.kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app by simply searching Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this podcast will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
Good morning. If I haven't had a chance to say hello to you, if I haven't met you, my name's Kim, one of the people on team that gets the privilege of coming up and opening God's word for you. So we are at the moment back in our spiritual disciplines series, part two. Last week, Brett brought an incredibly helpful word about the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So if you haven't had a chance, definitely have a listen to that on the podcast. I found it a really great and helpful overview of that. This morning, we are moving on to the reflection of Scripture, reading our Bibles. And I've put up a word there called soak. If you take nothing away this morning, I want you to keep that word in your brain because that is where we are heading. And we know, and we've been talking about the fact that the spiritual disciplines are not an end in themselves, but they are the things that we practice in order to draw closer to God and to be formed more like Christ. And they lead us bit by bit and step by step closer to Him. This morning, rather than do a complete traditional preach, I really wanted to give you space to ponder, reflect, and engage with God's word. So we're going to do some things that are a little bit different this morning, but I'm expectant that God is going to meet you right where you are through His word this morning. So I just want to start by reading a couple of scriptures to you that talk about the word of God, just to lay a foundation for what we were going to explore this morning. The first one is out of Hebrews 4, chapter 12. For the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Isaiah 55:11 says, "My word which goes out of my mouth will not return to me void, useless or without result. It will accomplish what I desire and succeed in the matter for which I sent it." Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away." And 2 Timothy 3:14, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your word, that we in this country can freely own, read, and engage with your word. I thank you that you are present with us this morning, and you are present with us through your word. We just take a moment, Lord, to open our hearts to receive your word this morning, your word within the word, specifically for us. Speak to us, strengthen us, and encourage us through your word. Amen. So the first question that I want to ask you this morning, and this is not rhetorical, I would like some response, is this. When you read the Bible, what is it that you are looking for? Anyone got an idea? When you open your Bible, when you read the Word of God, what is it you're looking for? Truth? Wisdom. Yes, need some of that. Wisdom. What else? Direction. Guidance. What should I do? Inspiration. A bigger picture, meaning, hope, looking for hope. Yeah, so getting to know who God is, what he's like, what his ways are, what his character is. What else? Anything we haven't covered? I had comfort. Sometimes we're looking for comfort in the Word of God. Healing. Sometimes when I read the Word of God, I'm looking for grace, forgiveness, strength to be sustained in a place I might find myself. I'm looking for examples on how to live a life that is pleasing to Him. This week I started to meditate on Psalm 119. I say started because it has 176 verses. So it's going to take longer than a week. But it's all about the power or the gift of the Word of God. And a couple of words that would sum it up is Psalm 119 suggests that the Word of God is the way to happiness, to true joy, and to an abundant life. And that meditating on the Word revives us, it comforts us, and delivers us. It helps us to understand God's ways, and it develops our trust in God. It forms us and it helps us to grow, and it fuels our love and devotion and service to God. I wrote a really quick or brief reflection as I was meditating on Psalm 119 this week, and it goes like this: Your word is a pathway to purity, a deterrent to sin. It keeps me from deceitful ways. It preserves my life. Your word rebukes and teaches. It brings understanding. It gives insight. It imparts wisdom. Your word lights my path and directs my feet. Your word counsels and strengthens me. It lifts my shame. It sets my heart free. Your word forms and shapes me. It declares your promise for me and instills hope for me in a future. Your word is good, true, and trustworthy. A love letter, a pardon notice. It comforts my heart. It feeds my soul and holds me together. Your word anchors and sustains me. It settles me with peace and upholds me with joy. Your word is eternal, unchanging, generational, our inheritance. It stands firm and it endures. Your word creates, redeems, refines, renews. It is boundless and powerful. It destroys strongholds. It shields my life and it gives me victory. Wow, when I ponder that psalm and when I think about those words, I can really say amen. Over the course of my life, the word has been all these things and more to me some of the time. But there has also been seasons for me when the word seemed lifeless or dry or not as interesting or relevant or palatable as the other books on my bedside table. And reading it has sometimes felt like a chore. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are transformed through the renewing of our minds. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." But we also know that increased knowledge does not automatically lead to transformation. Sometimes it just leads to puffing up or arrogant people. I'm sure you've met some of those in your time. Richard Rohr says that knowing God, not knowing more, is our goal. So the second question I want to address this morning is this one. How do we engage with the Word in such a way that we receive its richness and find ourselves transformed? How do we engage with the Word in such a way that we receive its riches and we find ourselves transformed? I mean, that's what I want. I don't want to read a bunch of words on a page that feel dry and lifeless. I actually want to engage with those words and allow them to shape, direct, comfort, all of the things that we talked about, to receive the richness of the Word of God. But I think there's two ways that riches come. Richness comes, not riches, richness comes. The first one I've got there is letting the word sink in. You know, in recent years, in response to the hectic pace and the drive for more of modern life, popularity has been growing for what we call the slow living movement. Have you heard of slow living, slow home? Anyone? Yes, thanks, Donna. Good. Interestingly, the slow movement began in 1986 with the creation of the slow food movement when a guy called Carlo Pettini protested against the opening of the famous fast food restaurant McDonald's in Rome. And slow living stands for this. It's a revolution against the notion that faster is always better. And slow living is about savouring and being mindful. And it's about quality over quantity. Our fast is better culture, I think, has also influenced the way in which we interact with God's word. You know, over the years, we've developed things like the one-minute devotional, read the Bible in a year plan. Numerous apps, podcasts, books have emerged to make it easier, more convenient, and faster to engage with the word of God. All of these things are useful resources, and they're not bad in and of themselves, but they alone will not lead to the transformation that soaking in and responding to the living word of God for yourself will. Our goal is not to get through the scriptures, but to get the scriptures through us. And the best way that I can give you a visual of this is through French toast. Who has ever made French toast? A few of you. Has everyone eaten French toast? So you know with French toast, when you make it, you take a kind of normal piece of bread, or you could take a fancy piece, but we often just make it with straight out of the loaf. And you whip up your mixture of eggs and milk and maybe a bit of vanilla, whatever you like to put in yours. And you take your piece of bread and you submerge it into the mixture. And you leave it there for a little while so that that eggy, delicious mixture can soak into the bread. And then once it's kind of soaked up as much as it can, you take that piece of bread, you let it drip off, you whack it in a nice buttery frying pan, fry it up, and that boring, plain piece of bread goes from that to this delicious, rich, eggy, yummy delight. Who wants French toast right now? I think I'm going home to have it for lunch with maple syrup and maybe some bacon. The egg mixture becomes a part of the bread, and it is so much more richer and delicious as a result. That's what it's like to soak in the Word of God. Taking time to reflect on Scripture is counter to our culture of speed reading, skimming, and first impressions. It takes intention and discipline to linger and remain in the Word of God, to let it sink in and to soak up its richness. Success is not measured by the number of pages read. Instead, our job is to stay with one passage, one verse, one word, as long as it takes for it to do its work in us, as long as it takes for us to learn what we need to learn. The second way that we can lean into this richness is by being washed by the word. You know, last week, Eliza's hair, I noticed, was becoming very shabby and disentangled, and kinks were in it, and it was looking very lifeless, and that was because I realized I hadn't washed it for a good couple of weeks. We'd been busy, we'd been out in the afternoon and nights, and I didn't want to deal with the tension when she was tired because she doesn't like having it washed, and then there was no time to get it dry. Anyone with girls will know what I'm talking about with long hair. So on Friday, I put my foot down and I went, "You are getting this hair washed now." And we got in the shower, she got in the shower, and I washed it all clean, and out she come. And I smelt her hair, and you know that clean hair smell? It's kind of on par with freshly cut grass. Took a big whiff, beautiful. And we brushed it out and it dried, and there the healthy luster came back. It was shiny, it was full of life, it was softer, it was healthier. You see, when something gets washed, the soap and the water lift out the impurities and the item gets returned to its original beautiful condition. And John Ortberg, in this book we've been tracking along, The Life You've Always Wanted, says this: when we come to God, our minds and our hearts are like that, like dirty hair, if you like, cluttered with false beliefs and attitudes, deadly feelings, misguided plans, and hopes and fears that need to be cleansed and renewed. We all have lives full of deadly feelings and dirty thoughts. That's what it is to be human. We get impatient and angry and jealous and hurt and embarrassed and focused on our own gain or surviving the day, and we can lose a kingdom perspective. If all these thoughts and feelings are left unchallenged, eventually they lead to corrupt words and actions. I think David knew this in his Psalm 51, where he writes, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I feel like that sometimes. God, renew a right spirit. I'm all off kilter right now. We can do the same thing when we read the Bible. We can ask God to speak a specific word through it to us, and we can ask him to renew a right spirit within us. And we can listen for his invitation. Is there an example to follow, a promise to claim, a command to obey, a truth to be applied, a prayer to be prayed, a sin to be confessed? Ortberg suggests that to be filled with the knowledge about the Bible, but to be unwashed by it, is worse than not knowing it at all. So the goal is to let the words sink in and to allow it to wash us and restore a right spirit within us. So how do we do this? How do we soak up the word? Can I have the next slide? There's four ways, and I don't have a heap of time to go through them because in just a moment I want to lead you through one of them in a little practical way. But there's four ways I think that we can soak up the word. And that is to, first one there is to engage with the lost art of curiosity. You know, Google is at our fingertips and it's so easy to get an answer in minutes. And Shireen was talking about it earlier, to actually search the word, to get curious. What is it I'm wrestling with? And to go to the word of God and search it out in the way that she did, to see what God had to say about this, the area in her life with which she's wrestling. Jesus made it clear that the truth will set you free, but it can only do that if you have the knowledge of the truth. Good feelings or ecstatic experiences without a knowledge of truth will not set us free. Another path that Dave mentioned a little while ago when he preached was to be learning Jesus. I did this recently. We had an essay for Arrow on what it meant to be a biblical leader. So I decided to look at Jesus and to learn the way that he did it. And I enjoyed so much studying his life and looking at the kind of leader he was and letting it impact me in the way that I'm developing my own philosophy of leadership. The second one up there is the lost art of imagination. Rather than dissecting the passage or story, that means allowing yourself to enter it into it like a child would, full of wonder. The goal is to live the passage by applying all your senses to a task. Smell the sea, hear the lap of the water on the shore, see the crowd, feel the sun on your head and the hunger in your stomach. Taste the salt in the air, touch the hem of his garment, be one of his disciples at his feet. Choose a biblical character and walk in their shoes. Be the prodigal son, or Mary Magdalene, or Peter upon the ocean waves. And as you read the passages, think about what is similar between me and this character. Where do we struggle the same way? What wisdom can I take from their journey? Allow a passage of scripture to invite a creative response if you're a creative type. Perhaps a song, a piece of art, some photography. Engage your imagination as you soak up the word of God The third one there, the lost art of memorization. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, when I was young growing up in church, we had things called Sunday school exams. Did anyone else do a Sunday school exam? And we had to learn scripture passages. And I hated it at the time. But now I'm so grateful because in those times when I don't have my Bible with me or times when I'm struggling and I don't even want to pray, it's the scriptures I learnt then and the songs that we used to sing over and over and over that God brings back to my heart, into my mind. I read this quote during the week. A mind so overwhelmed with information that nothing is known by heart can leave the soul at the mercy of the last mental image that took our fancy. Memorization gives the mind somewhere to go when all the media is turned off. It's challenging, isn't it? What matters is not how many words we memorize, but what happens to our minds and hearts as we immerse them in Scripture. And that's a challenge for you this week, perhaps, to take a verse that you're speaking something to you at the moment and commit it to memory. Old school way. Takes repetition. Eliza's learning her times tables and it just takes repetition to get it in there. And the last one I've got there, the lost art of meditation. The Bible speaks over and over again of meditating on the word or the law of God. There's two different Hebrew words that are used for the word meditate, and they have various meanings, but the big idea is that meditation means to reflect, rehearse, remind, and ruminate on the Word of God. What sets Christian meditation apart from Eastern meditation is that I believe it goes beyond stillness to knowing God. Eastern meditation focuses on the emptying of the mind, where Christian meditation is the opening of your mind up to the mind of God. It merely means bringing our sustained attention to the presence and voice of God. It's not about entering some divine, blissed out state. Meditation is a pathway to encounter with the living God. The goal is to bring about repentance, freedom, inner wholeness and faithfulness, and respond with obedience to his word. Jesus withdrew from people all of the time, but not to be alone. He withdrew to be with God, to abide in his presence, to hear his voice and seek his guidance. There's a few different ways that you can engage in the path of meditating on the Word of God. But this morning, as we come to a close, I want to lead you in a specific way, which is called Lectio Divina, or divine reading. And it dates back to the early church when people either didn't own a Bible or they were illiterate and couldn't read a Bible for themselves. And the purpose of Lectio Divina is to read slowly, attentively the Word of God, listening to hear a word or phrase that is God's word for you today. And there's four parts of it that I'm going to lead you through this morning. And they're up there in the questions. I'm not going to go through that because we're going to do it together, but you can get a bit of an idea where we're going to go this morning. So I'm going to ask you to just get comfortable in your seat. You might want to put down your notepads or your phones. I'm going to ask Eddie to join me up on stage. He's going to play a little bit of music behind. You might want to close your eyes. This was originally done in that people would listen to the Word of God. But when you're doing it at home for yourself, you will obviously need to read the passage, but you can read it out loud so you're still listening to the Word of God. God, we just want to position ourselves this morning to meditate upon your word. We just let everything else fall away, our to-do lists, what we're doing straight after this service, all the things that come into our mind to distract us. And we just position ourselves to receive from you. You might like to open your hands or to sit in a posture of receiving from God this morning. Holy Spirit, I just pray that you would lead us and speak to us now. So I'm going to read this passage to you for the first time. And as I read it, I want you just to think about the word or phrase that catches your attention. Just to think about the word, don't try to analyze it or judge it, but just reflect on what word or phrase jumps out to you. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change and though the mountains be shaken and slip into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its roaring. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, his city. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered and were moved. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our refuge, our tower. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations and wonders in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow in pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know, recognize, understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our refuge, our high tower. So bring to mind the word or the phrase that stood out to you as I read that scripture. And I'm going to give you just a minute to share with someone that is nearby you or that you came with. Or if there's no one nearby, you can just ponder yourself. What was the word? You don't have to say anything more about it. Just share what was the word or the phrase that stood out to you. Okay, now I'm going to read the passage again. And this time, as I read it, I want you to consider this question. How does the word or phrase that stood out to you relate to your life right now? So as I read, savor the words and consider that question. God is our refuge and strength. Mighty and impenetrable, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change and though the mountains be shaken and slip into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its roaring. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, his city. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning comes. The nations made an uproar, the kingdoms tottered and were moved. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our refuge, our high tower. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations and wonders in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow into pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know, recognize, understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our refuge, our high tower. So how does the word or phrase that stood out to you earlier relate to your life right now? I'll give you a couple of minutes to ponder that, or to turn to the person you were talking to before and just share how it relates to your life right now. Okay, I'm going to read the passage one last time. And this time, as I read, I want you to ask God, what is it you're inviting me to? What is it you're inviting me to? God is our refuge and strength, mighty and impenetrable, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change, and though the mountains be shaken and slip into the heart of the seas, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its roaring. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, his city. She will not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered and were moved. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our refuge, our high tower. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations and wonders in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow in pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know, recognize, understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold, our refuge, our our high tower. What is it that God is inviting you to? The final part of this is just to sit, to contemplate, and to rest in the presence of God, allowing the word to sink deeply into your soul. What is it that you can take with you from this reading through the rest of your day? I'm going to pray for you now, and I'm going to end the service here this morning. And after I finish praying, we're going to play a song. And I know some of you have children to pick up, but if you can linger for a few minutes under the word, you might like to pray for someone that you've been sharing with, or you might like to come down the front this morning, and the team would love to pray with you if something has risen for you as you've sat under the word of God this morning and you would like someone to pray with you. Or if this has been a really difficult thing and you feel totally stuck or totally not engaged with the word of God, I would love to pray and talk with you about that as well. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to play a song to end this morning. Father God, I thank you for your word from this psalm. And Father, as we just choose to linger in these few more moments, I pray that it would continue to sink deeply into our souls, that you would speak into the parts of us you are wanting to free or heal or comfort or challenge or shape or affirm this morning. God, we just open our hearts to you, and we pray, God, that you would give us a growing desire to engage and experience the richness of your word. You would help us to find time and spaces not to skim over it, God, but to allow it to sink in and to wash over us. Amen.